Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Education Is podcast. As always, I'm Nicole Forsyth, here with my trusty co-host.
Hello, everyone. This is Alan Paterka.
And we're joined here today by Todd Seville, who's an instructor here at Kirkwood Community College. So, Todd, tell us a little bit about who you are, what your background is, and what you teach.
Sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Todd Seville. I've been teaching at Kirkwood. This is my seventh year, and I am the Financial Services Coordinator. So what that means is, besides coordinating my little financial services program, I teach personal finance, principles of selling, principles of marketing, customer service, and principles of banking. Prior to coming to Kirkwood, I worked at Rockwell Collins for a number of years. And prior to Rockwell Collins, I worked in financial services at Wells Fargo and Prudential.
Dang. Can you hook me up with a loan?
No, but I can sell you some stock bonds and mutual funds.
Excellent. That's fantastic. Yeah. And so you are engaged in, I sort of know of this project because we have a program here at Kirkwood called the Endowed Chair.
Right.
And so you wrote a book and marketed it. So tell us a little bit about that project.
Well, I wrote a book. As for the marketing part of it, not so much, but
okay.
That's really what the project's about. I guess I should give you a little bit of background as to how it came to be. I wrote a novel. The novel is called My Father's House. And like most novels, this novel has a lot of fact and truth woven into the fiction. I wrote it more or less not with any target market in mind, but just for me. Kind of one of these things that are on the bucket list. And I'd written it several years ago, started maybe in 2007, I think. It took maybe a year and a half to write, on and off. And I got it done and thought, wow, cool, neat, awesome. I wrote a novel, and it sat on my hard drive. And then a few years went by, and my father, and one of the key plots or subplots, themes in the story is a relationship. The main character is a male, 32-ish, very materialistic, very myopic in his vision. He's kind of alienated from his family. He has kind of an estranged relationship with his father, and then they come back together. In the end, he also works in financial services. Imagine that. There's some truth to this story. I gave the story to my father for his 70th birthday a year ago this past February. And I was walking through the hall and I came across a colleague that works in graphic design. And I said, hey, can you help me out with a little project? I wrote this novel. I would like to give it to my dad for his 70th birthday. He helped me put a cover together and format it, printed off 3 hard copies. And I gave one to my father for his birthday. Thought, great. Awesome, you know, nice gift. A couple months went by, and I'm involved here at Kirkwood in these study abroad programs. And another colleague and I had a trip down to Australia. And this is really where the genesis of the project came to be and how it ties into this endowed chair is we went down to Australia, and we went to a place called Love Grove Winery for the day. And we divided our students. I'm not kidding you. That is really the name. It's really a place.
Sure. Well, lots winery. Of good things happen at wineries, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, there are some enlightening things that happen this day, at least for me. So beyond the nice lunch and a few wine samples, the students were divided up into groups of, you know, 5 to 6 students. And they were asked to come up with some ideas on how this wine owner could better market his business. Okay, cool enough, easy enough, right?
The great real-world application of the things that they're learning.
Well, yeah, you know, it was really, and again, Kirkwood does such a great job with its international, you know, study abroad programs, and I've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's just a fantastic experience for students and faculty alike, and I couldn't say enough good things about that. And this was just one of the activities and visits, business visits we did. Very real world. And so this winery owner really wanted to know what, you know, I'm out here in the, you know, in the bush, in the outback, not really, but you know, what can I do to get my name out? How can I promote? How can I let people know that I exist and promote my winery, you know, my wines? And so the students were divided up, like I said, into groups of five or six. And at the end of the day, they all got up into this little, quaint, beautiful, you know, stone courtyard. And they all said the same thing. They said, well, you should have a better website. Hmm. And you should get on Facebook. And you should think about Twitter. And you should think about Foursquare. And you should think about all these different things. And I just kind of had an epiphany at that moment. Really two things. It was, one, wow, my students know more about this key aspect of marketing than I do. And two, I thought, well, I have a product at home on my hard drive just sitting there. And I thought, well, you know what? I could take this product, this novel that I'd printed off three copies, and that's the only copies I intended to print off and didn't have any other plans really for it. Never pursued an agent or an editor or a publisher. Again, it was just more or less a personal thing to do. And I said, well, what the heck, you know? I can come back. I can self-publish this thing. And again, everybody knows Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, all these e-readers all over the place. I can throw this out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I can figure out how to create a website, maybe call my friend Alan Paterka since he's kind of a techie guy and, you know, see if he can help me out. But, you know, I thought, well, I can learn more about what I should already know about that my students know about that's coming out in these textbooks and get some real firsthand, you know, experience from this. And so that's what I did. I came back, I polished it up, formatted it, tweaked it, uploaded it to Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and I threw it out there. And I learned, it's been a learning experience, but I learned, one, it's the challenge isn't uploading a manuscript or a piece of writing. Anybody can do that. That's not, even I can do that. And if I can do that, I know anybody can do that. That's not the tough part. The tough part is letting people know that you uploaded it, letting people know that it's out there, it's available. And so that's where this this project that Kirkwood is supporting me with, this endowed chair project, has come from. And the idea is to learn more about social media marketing and e-marketing in terms of, here's this digital product, it's only available online. How do you go about marketing, promoting, advertising just an online product?
What makes it tough? So what is the hard part of it?
Well, I guess not knowing what the heck I'm doing is part of it. What makes it tough? I would say this. What makes it tough is I started doing some research on this. And that's tough in itself because there's so many sources of information out there telling you should do this and don't do that and you should blog and you should tweet and you should have a great website and you should do all these different things. Well, you can't do everything. It's just too much. So you should figure out, one, who is your target audience? You know, who is most likely to read this type of book? And again, I had to ask myself that question. Simple, that's marketing 101, you know, and that's the class I teach. But when I wrote this story, I didn't have that in mind. I didn't have it. You know, I didn't decide, hey, I'm going to write this novel and it's going to be targeted right at this reader. It wasn't about that. So figuring out, you know, who is the likely, who is the ideal reader for this, and you know, who do you target this book towards in this strictly online forum? Again, there's no hard copies. This is online only. So that was challenging. It was challenging figuring out how to best reach your audience once you know who your audience is. And again, you go back to your marketing, your four P's. You know, how are you going to communicate or promote this to that target audience? Is it going to be through Facebook and Facebook advertisements? I've learned a little bit about that. Is it going to be through Google and Google AdWords? I've learned a little bit about that. Are you going to do contests and giveaways? I've learned a little bit about that. Is it going to be through your website? Are you going to blog? It's pretty overwhelming.
And so promotion is one of the P's. What are the other?
Oh, the other, you know, the other P's of the four P's: the marketing mix. Okay. product, place, price, and promotion. So in this case, the product is the story. The product is the novel, and the product is online only. So there's no hard copies again. So first and foremost, and anybody would tell you this, no matter what kind of product it is, you have to have a product that consumers want. You have to have a product that's quality, that does what it says it's going to do. And, you know, hopefully this does that. Secondly is place, and we talk about place, that's distribution. And in this case, it's distributed online only. So if you don't have an e-reader, you pretty much don't have access to this product. Price, that was another challenge, I guess, we could talk about, too, in terms of price. I asked a lot of people before I threw it out there, after jumping through all the hoops, and it's not as bad as it sounds to e-publish something. Barnes & Noble or Smashwords or Amazon, they have different requirements on what you need to do and how it needs to be formatted. That's not the hard part. The hard part was what price is right for this story. You know, from an unknown author, really just a guy that wrote a story, and I was at the time just looking for people to read it. My biggest fears actually were this, were one, nobody would read it, and I'd be the ultimate loser. Or two, if they did read it, they wouldn't like it, then I'd be the double ultimate loser. Luckily it's had a few readers out there, and I've gotten some decent reviews, and so that's fortunate, knock on wood. The price I asked people, and I didn't know at first. I thought I'll just throw it out there for 99 cents, you know, just to get some people to read it, see what they think, give some feedback. And I had a few people say, no, you don't want to do that. I said, well, why not? And they said, well, if you throw it out there for 99 cents, you may be missing your target market, the people who are most likely to read this book. I said, really? And they kind of turned it around on me, and they said, well, would you buy a bottle of wine for 99 cents? And I said, well, probably not. I said, well, if they see your story for 99 cents, they might, you know, associate that with a cheap bottle of wine. That's a cheap read. It must not be very good. So there's those connotations and perceptions of price, too. And so I started off a little higher than that. Not much, a little, $4.99. And that gives you some back to marketing promotions. If I would have started it off at 99 cents, you can't. That's as low as you can go. So you don't have any room to do any sort of promotion with that. Mm. Odd as it sounds, I tell you what, you have something for $4.99, and then you run a contest or you run a promotion, you know, this week only, 99 cents. People respond to that. Everybody likes a deal, even if it's only a couple bucks. You know, that makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Or maybe it's just me. I look for deals. So,
I would say I'm a relatively new iPad owner, and there is something to that. Normally, this app is $3. Today, it's free, and you're like, oh, I got to get that app. And then you're like, why did I get this app? You know, and then you delete it 2 days later. But there really is something to that. So this is a podcast about education, and one thing that we've often talked to other Kirkwood instructors about is kind of how their learning then impacts the learning of their students. And it sounds like you really embarked on a journey of self-teaching and self-learning. So how are you kind of taking this back to the classroom?
That's a good question. I've already done a few things. I have been cautious, reluctant. Last thing I want to do is solicit to my students. I never want to do that. That's not appropriate, and that's not me. So, but what I have done is I want to use it in a way that it integrates into what we're talking about in class, either in selling class or customer service class or a marketing class. Because it is a product, we can talk about it through the four P's. I can give some real life examples. What's so cool is, you know, it's not theory. It's not straight out of the textbook stuff. And, you know, same things apply, you know, having worked in corporate for 13 years. It's nice, and I think students appreciate the fact that I can, when we talk or discuss or have lecture in class, I can lean on some of that corporate experience and say, this is how it is, and this is, you know, how it integrates and meshes and makes sense. And so I really wanted to develop that experience and that confidence to be able to say, this is what a cost per click means, or a cost per impression, and it's an auction system where you're bidding on, on space and relevance with other people out there for those same keywords and things like this. So we talk a little bit about that. I had a great example. A couple of weeks ago, and I used it in my customer service class. Wow, do I mention this on podcast or not? I don't
know. You can always edit it out.
Okay, well, here we go. Here's what it was. Like I said, when I wrote this novel, I didn't really have any target market in mind. And part of the novel, you know, relates to the character, and he goes through this change, this awakening, this epiphany, if you will, of his own, and how he's leading his life. And he has this when he goes and he visits his father up in little rural, you know, Harmony, Minnesota, which is a very large Amish community. And then he meets this Amish woman, and he sees her lifestyle, and they develop this romance, okay? And he just starts thinking about things differently. Anyway, this romance blossoms. And so when I decided how to categorize, when you categorize a book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you have to determine what genre it is. And when we talk about marketing, it's about, you know, who is your target market, and how is that going to be segmented? And again, that's how you decide who to target your marketing plan at. I didn't know what genre this fit in. I still struggle with that. And so I put it into Amish fiction because it has an Amish element to it. One of the main characters is this Amish woman. And I put it in Christian fiction as well. And I was informed via a review or two on Amazon, which they are still out there because I have no way of not getting them not out there. I can't delete them. This was my worst fear. My worst fear, above no one reading it or not liking it if they did read it, my worst fear came to pass, and that was someone was offended by an aspect of the story. There's a romantic scene that was a little bit, I guess too romantic for this particular reader. And there was some language that was maybe a little bit too strong for this particular reader. And they said so in the review. And that bothered me a lot because I truly felt bad. I felt like I owed them an apology. You know, I never intended for this to offend anyone. And again, by perhaps categorizing it in the wrong gender, it did just that. And so it was an example that I brought to the classroom. I said, here's an example. How would you handle this situation? Here's a real example. It just happened. And, you know, how do you respond to that?
Well, and it's interesting, I think, this participatory nature of the comments on an Amazon review site is also an interesting aspect of the marketing piece itself, because I know when I'm going shopping for anything, one of the first places I go is not the description of that item, but directly to the reviews.
Yeah.
And if I see a whole host of negative reviews, I start to wonder, do I really need this or want this?
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely true. I did a few things. I solicited a lot of advice. I mean, here's a real life situation. Here is a product that it got a couple. There's actually two or three, I think, a couple of negative reviews. In terms of, I was offended. You know, a few of them, you know, started off, well, I really like this, until I came across this one word and that bothered me. And then I got to this romantic scene and it was too much for me, and I stopped reading at that point. And I thought, wow, wow, that was my biggest fear. And so I got some advice. I got some advice from other authors within that Amish fiction genre and Christian fiction genre. And they all told me the same thing. They said, you know what, you can't please everybody. Write it out, see what you think. Because I told them, I said, I feel like I need to apologize. And they said, you know, don't. I mean, if you're apologizing for your product, that could, you know, just blow things out of proportion and blow things up. And I said, well, I'm gonna change the genre. And they said, don't do that either. And this was advice taken from very well-established authors within that genre. So I wrote it out. I followed it very cautiously, scrutinized it, because if I saw more of, you know, I was out, I was going to move it. I didn't want those, you know, that kind of offense towards anyone else. And two, if it's not properly placed, and this marketing 101 again, if this product isn't targeted at the appropriate market, you need to find the market that it should be targeted at. So fortunately, those reviews gave enough indication to those other similar readers that they steer clear of this now. But yeah, that was a real situation that was, you know, kind of a interesting path to cross, I guess.
I wonder too if, you know, writing, especially something that, of course, has elements of your own life in it, and art, you know, if you're just kind of new to being an artist and sharing your work with others, I mean, that's a whole another level. But we do live in this society where we're all hyperlinked in Facebook and tweeting and following and blogging with each other, and that I know some people who just swear by never read the comments, just don't read the comments, even if it's on something you've put out in the world, because there is that impersonal thing that happens, but you do just have to be prepared for, well, people aren't going to like things, and they're going to tell you, and they're going to be real honest with you. So
yeah, they've been a few of them have been more than not. They've been brutally honest, and others, yeah.
So I wonder what your students made of that. What did they come back and tell you?
You know, that's what was so great, and I really like having those discussions in classroom, and I think the students do too, because it's real, and they see a person up in front of the classroom that is more than just a teacher and a facilitator. They see it's a real person up there, and a real person asking for their advice and their input on a situation they're learning about. And so they were very engaged and offered some great advice. One of the best pieces of advice that I think was given was instead of because I was told this enough times by different people and different authors, they said, you do not want to respond on Amazon to that. It just isn't done, and that could just spiral and work against you and blow out of control. Or even if you do respond, it could, you know, really backfire on this person in a way that, you know, makes them feel bad. So I didn't want to do that. Everybody said, you just don't want to... You don't want to do that. That can open up a can of worms that you don't want to play with. And the piece of advice that was given was, well, is there a way to contact this person? I'd written it all out, you guys. I'd written out my entire response, my apology. I'm sorry. I never meant for this to happen. And, you know, please forgive me and everything. They said, can you contact that person who wrote that review, and just privately, so it isn't, you know, out to the public. And I had considered that, and I don't know if I ever found a way to do that, or I just elected not to, and I just let it ride. And fortunately, it's only been, I think, two or three that were within that same camp of being offended.
Well, and in some ways, I think it's really interesting, because I think that information of their offense, while maybe troubling to you, is actually really useful to somebody else who's considering this particular publication. It may be good information for them. They may consider this as not a negative part of the review.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of like, I'm curious. You got my... what's in the
mean? You know, actually, both ways. You're right. Because some people are like, wow, you know, how intimate was this scene? Now I really do want to read it. So it actually could work, you know, work for me as an author. But you know, on the other hand, it also works for those other like-minded readers who don't want to read that kind of stuff.
It's a good piece of knowledge.
It really is, and that was one of the things that I had in my written out response that you know kept me up through the night was a thank you. I said thank you. I appreciate your honest review, and I can't remember how the rest of it went, but. The fact that that person, any reader, whether they're a reader or any customer that offers, you know, that feedback to any potential customer, I think it is going above and beyond what most people do. Very few people leave any reviews, whether they're a reader of a novel or a purchaser of a product. And the fact that this person wrote a review and was honest about it, and stated clearly why this was offensive to them in very simple terms, I appreciated that. I think a lot of other readers appreciated that, and I said that's one of the first things they said. I appreciate your feedback, and I think other readers would too, and I apologize. And again, I wish I could have got that message out to them, but... Yeah,
it's so interesting to me as a librarian because there's a long tradition of people challenging books, you know, that shouldn't appear in like public library stacks, especially like, oh, you can't have J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye in there that drops the F bomb. You know, so it's just it's interesting to hear the author's perspective.
Well, I wasn't dropping any F bombs. I can assure you that.
But it's funny because I'm so used to kind of hearing these debates and offended readers are kind of part and parcel of my world. So it's just really interesting to hear this take.
Yeah.
One thing I've been really interested in is as you've been talking about your growth and your learning, you know, you were kind of laughing when you said you kind of didn't know what you were doing, and then you talked about something else that I think is, I would love to find a way to encourage more students to do. Like, it sounds like you developed a personal learning network for yourself. You sought out other authors to ask them advice, and I don't know exactly how you did that, but I think in kind of this online networked world, like crafting a little personal community around yourself of people doing the same things, like that to me is something really powerful that I would love to find a way to encourage in myself, in my colleagues, in my, you know, students I come into contact with. Because one, I think it's helpful. You're going through the same experiences. You're finding your own mentors and your own teachers. And two, I love the humility of you admitting you don't know what you're doing. Because a lot of our students, I mean, I can only imagine an Allen's Chinese class first day. Like, it's awkward. You don't know what you're doing. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
So those are just two things that I thought
were
really interesting.
That's really interesting because I've thought of that as well. Initially, when I first started writing, I didn't have that network at the beginning. I mean, Kirkwood. I took a class here at Kirkwood years ago, probably well over 13, 14 years ago. I took a creative writing class here. I took a writer's workshop class down at the University of Iowa years ago as well. And that was about it. I'm not an English major. I didn't take any classes on novel writing. I mean, I've got some books. I did a little bit of research, you know, on certain things. And I researched the Amish. And I have some personal experience with that as well. So there's some fact and truth related to personal experience related to that. But, you know, writing, I think, is at least for me, it's kind of a lonely, personal, challenging type of hobby, you know, or career, whatever it is to you. But once you get it done, and this is what I found to be so nice, and, you know, and you get it out there. You know, there's another author here on I'm sure there's several, but a friend and a colleague, another author here on campus, Jed Peterson, we both, I think, published ours at the same time. He has a formal publisher, but he's put it out as an ebook as well. And so we've swapped notes a time or two here before. We've done some joint things at Barnes & Noble here in town, a little local author book signing and meet and greet type of a thing. I met some other authors here this last February. There was the Marion Library was having a little event at their place, which was, I think, 9 or 10 local authors they brought together and had 3 different sessions, one on the creative process, one on writing memoirs, and one on self-publishing. which is the one I was on. And they had little panel discussions, and we had readings that day. But the point is you made connections with other authors and swapped stories and ideas, and I think that's great because, you know, it's challenging enough just to write a book of any kind. I've learned that it's even more challenging to market that book. And I teach marketing. Go figure. But, yeah, so it's been great. You know, and one of the things that, you know, I'm considering with this endowed chair, and again, I couldn't, you know, I've been at Kirkwood for 7 years, and I've been a huge fan and cheerleader from day one. I love Kirkwood. I absolutely love what I do. I love doing it here. I mean, I couldn't say enough good things about the people and colleagues, and just it's awesome. So I'm like, and I wasn't paid to say that. I promise you, I'm not getting any. There's nothing, but it's I love Kirkwood. I really do. And the fact that they're supporting me with this personal / professional project just makes me appreciate, you know, and be that much more grateful for being here. One of the things that I hope that comes out of this in the end is to develop that network like you're talking about. Maybe, you know, it could be a Facebook group. There's lots of people out there that have a story, mm-hmm. or would like to have that feedback and would like to know about how do I e-publish it? How do I market it? How do I reach my target market? And so one of the things that I hope that comes out of this, I plan for it to come out of this, is in the end is whether it's a workshop, a continuing ed, a League for Innovation presentation, something that I can share with other people that would like to market a product online, whether that's a book or whether it's something else. Hmm. And so I'm really excited about that. I have a lot to learn, but, you know, that's what it's about, is passing it on and sharing
So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you have learned or what's been effective platforms maybe for you in terms of the self-promotion and marketing of this product, your book.
Well, I don't know if any have been that effective yet. I should come talk to you about that. No, I can tell you what some things that I've learned so far. And Alan, you know better than anyone that I'm far, far, far from tech savvy because I have your phone number memorized. Yeah. But I can tell you that, you know, I've created, you'd be proud of me, I created my own little website. It's nice to hear from readers. You know, I have a contact us page so they can send emails, so that's been fun. I've done some contests. Some giveaways, you'd be surprised people respond to that. You know, on a product that sells for less than a cup of coffee, you know, $2.99, $3.99 is what it's priced at now. But people like to win things. And so I've done some, you know, free book Friday. You know, send me an email, send me Barnes & Noble or Amazon, and I'll let you know on Friday who wins. They responded to that. I've done some Google advertising. So I've learned so much, and there's so much left to learn. I've done, like I said, Google advertising with Google AdWords. I knew nothing about that. You know, keywords and this kind of thing, cost per click and cost per impressions. I've done some Facebook advertising. I've joined, you know, Goodreads and some other reading online reading communities out there and tried to target advertise towards them. There isn't any one thing that's the magic potion that I figured out yet. I mean, I have not, what I have not done, I haven't got into Twitter. I'm not Twitter, you know, Twitter Todd. That's not, I'm not going to be tweeting. That's not going to happen.
Twitter Todd tweeting.
Yeah, there's no
it's Todd. It's got so much potential.
No tweeting for Todd. Tweeting, Twitter, whatever. I'm not going to tweet. That's just, some authors I've seen have done that. Have been successful at that. I have a lot of followers, and I know that a lot of what it's becoming, especially in e-publishing, is engagement. It's all about engaging your audience, engaging your customer, and that's, you know, Facebook and Twitter, you know, those and plenty of others. Those are ways that you can engage, and blogging as well. So I have some ideas on what to do and how to do it. I just haven't done much of it at this point. So maybe when I get some time, I'll focus on that.
I know Facebook has been fairly consistently positive for my wife's flower shop at New Bow City Market.
Yeah.
Whenever we post something to Facebook in the morning, people will come in that day and say, oh, I saw this posting on Facebook. Can I get these willow plants from you that I saw there? How many do you have left?
I just saw them today.
Yeah, yeah, see?
It's amazing, honestly, and I guess that's something else, Alan. I before I chose to publish this novel, again, it's been out for not quite a year yet. The study abroad trip was at the end of May of last year, 2012. I came back, polished it up. I think in June, July timeframe is when I published it. I didn't have a website, I didn't have Twitter, I didn't even have Facebook, I had nothing at all. I was trying to be as off the grid as possible. And then suddenly, you know, you throw yourself out there. It's scary, too. I mean, you got a lot of your heart and soul into something like this, and now you're opening it right up to the world like that. And when you have Facebook, and you got a website, and you got Twitter, I mean, hello world, this is who I am and what I have to offer. And that's a little overwhelming. But people do respond to that. It's surprising. Facebook, you put a picture out, you put a tweet out, and I've seen it with other authors who actually do it, which, unlike me, I've seen some of these other authors that they put out a picture and say, look at this beautiful scene. And you have hundreds of people that say, you know, give a like to or make comments on. That's a following. That's engagement. And with Facebook, that can be very, very viral. I mean, as you both know, I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, because it's all connected. You got friends and friends of friends, and all of a sudden, who's this person? What have they written about? That book sounds good, you know, or whatever it may be. Flower shop, wow. Let's check that out. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's pretty wild when you think about it. Very different from 20 years ago, no doubt.
Absolutely. So encountering students who, you know, maybe for them, this world is just kind of second nature, you know, have you noticed anything sort of yet? I know it's a pretty new world for you, but any ways of working with them or talking with them? Are there some assumptions that they have about the world that's different from you coming to it kind of as an outsider?
I think, you know, they have such an advantage, you know, because they're tech savvy, unlike, you know, us gray hair guys trying to teach the class to students that should be teaching the class. But in order to put that into a business concept, that I think that's the difference. Mm-hmm. They know Facebook as, I like this song, and look at my new car, and look what I did over the weekend, and, you know, look at my friends and my family, we're having a good time kind of thing. And it's ironic, you mentioned that one of the courses, a brand new course within the business department that's being developed, and it's going to be out shortly, I'm not sure when, but a social media marketing class is going to be part of our business curriculum. I'm going to add that to my program, as well as, I'm sure, a lot of other programs within business and IT, in terms of, you know what this technology is, you're using it. You know what Facebook is, and you know what Twitter is, and you know what LinkedIn is, and you know what Pinterest is, and Instagram. Here's how people are using that in the business world in connecting with customers and potential customers. Here's how they're building an audience. Here's how they're engaging. And again, I see so much and hear so much about, you know, this concept of engagement now, engaging with customers and developing that following and that relationship on a different level. Something else. I mean, it's not print ads and TV and radio and billboards anymore. It's a lot mm-hmm. a lot different now.
Nicole, I know the library has done a lot in terms of social media exploration. You've had conversations there, or what's the conversation like now in the library?
So I would say, you know, as librarians, we are, I'll just speak for myself. We're a very sort of interesting set that we don't always tend to think of ourselves in terms of the four P's. You know, what is the product that we're pushing? We've really experienced so much change in kind of the library industry, for lack of a better word. We went from being resources you couldn't get. We were kind of gatekeepers to information. Now that's completely gone and exploded. So sometimes I think the product is more the librarian's expertise or just ability to, like, oh, here's a slightly better way to tweak that Google search to get the academic articles to come up first. You know, so the library world, a lot of people are blogging. We here at the Kirkwood Libraries are blogging. We have a Facebook group. We have a YouTube channel for the few tutorials that we've been turning out. And we look at the stats for all of that, and we collect them monthly, just like we collect from our ebook vendors. For us, I think it's a question of efficacy. Like, it's kind of fun. I think it's important. Librarians are very, very connected across, like, institutions and states and sectors, like public librarians and academic librarians. We really like to interact. I do tweet and was very active with it for a while in my last professional life and in grad school. But I guess for me, it's kind of always a question of, like, okay, it's fun. I build a bigger network. But sometimes there's kind of like a why. You know, why am I doing this? Or what, kind of what point? Like, we've been having a little contest on Facebook for National Poetry Month. And it's a little bit more of an esoteric kind of just engage yourself in a little poetic expression. But because we don't have a product we're selling, you know, sometimes it's good to have a metric that's like, how much money am I making?
Right.
Is the flower shop working? Is the book selling? Mm-hmm. Like, so for us as librarians, I think occasionally that's, you know, we can look at how many YouTube viewers we have, how many followers we have. But when our assessment is sort of more vague, it's like, well, are we contributing to student learning? We hope that we're building a community in some small way. You know, contributing to the sense of, if nothing else, you can use the library as a way to kind of help encourage yourself to be a better student.
Well, and if you are kind of promoting your own services, your own expertise as librarians, I think that that can be done very effectively in that medium,
yeah.
Letting people know that you're available and these are the kinds of things that you're doing.
Yeah,
outside
and
of just yeah, poetry kind of competition.
The poetry competitions are fun and important.
Yeah.
I think we really, at least I personally view it as a, let's try it, see how it goes, see how it works, and it has the potential to do something. And if it doesn't, the cost of failure is really quite low.
Right.
Kind of like this podcast. It's great. I grow my network, my knowledge, my expertise. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't garner us thousands of listeners and fatter bank accounts, you know, it's still worth doing, I think.
Yeah, all comes down to that ROI, the return on investment, doesn't it? In terms of how you spend your time.
Yeah, and I guess kind of in an educational setting, I'd like to think I have my eye on that, but I'm not always sure if I do.
Yeah, and determining what's most effective.
Right, and sort of who can help me determine that. You know, the one student who is able to tell us on the library Facebook page, like, hey, the quiet study area is really loud. Awesome, I march upstairs and do some shushing. That was really effective for him. You know, and I don't spend a ton of time on it at work, but it's an interesting question for me.
Yeah, I think efficacy is a challenging question for that, for that reason, because somebody's silence is actually detrimental to other people getting things done. But then I also think, for some reason, I guess part of me feels like there's value in the learning process when we're not being very efficient. And when we're taking extra pains and extra bits of time to figure things out for ourselves and being very inefficient. Whereas, you know, Todd, you could have called me right away and said, Alan, hi, I need this Facebook page set up. Can you just walk me through how to do it? But you didn't.
Right.
You went through the pains on your own and had it set up. So I think there is some benefit to that.
There is. There really is.
Yeah,
that's a good reminder.
That's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
So if we had to kind of sum up this episode of Education Is, I know Alan and I were thinking a little bit of education is selling, education is real world experience. Is there a way you can kind of sum up for you what this experience has been so far for you and education is?
Education has been eye-opening. Say that.
It is eye-opening. Yeah.
Education has been, it's been taking a chance. It's taking a risk. It's like you were saying, Alan, it's putting yourself out there and trying some things that might sound scary, that might be overwhelming, that might be frustrating, but, you know, that's kind of a process of learning. You know, and if you take it on with an attitude that, you know what, this might be a little painful and this is going to take a little time and I'm going without the safety net or somebody holding my hand here and I'm just going to see what happens and see where it leads, you know, it's okay. I think, you know, part of education is attitude towards it. You know, whether you're taking a class and... you know, if you go in there with an attitude of, I got to take this class. It wasn't one of my top favorite ones I got to take, but I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm going to make it a pleasant experience, and I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to get in there. And you know, it makes so much of a difference, I think. So for me, yeah, it was scary putting myself out there. Yeah, it was scary not knowing what the heck I'm doing in terms of Facebook or Twitter or websites or this online advertising, but it's been fun. It's been scary. It's been exciting. It's been fun. I have a lot left to learn. It's been overwhelming. But, you know, you look in the end that, you know, you've come a long way. You've got a long way to go, and you'll get to a point where you look back and say, wow, what a journey this has been. This has been a lot of fun. And now I'm going to help somebody else take that journey, and maybe they'll have a little easier hike as they go. But you know, it's been a fun trip.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Todd, for joining us.
Thank you,
Alan, of course, as always, for co-hosting and our tech setup. You can find us online at www.educationis.us.